welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist Mickey Folk. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities, mining, and the junior resource sector. And joining us from Mercenary Musings World Headquarters in Albuquerque, New Mexico, the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Folk. Mickey, you have to be one happy hockey fan right now, this time of year. You didn't expect to be here because your St. Louis Blues, they went from the basement. They were dwellers. They were bottom feeders in early January. Look at that. Now you're in the Stanley Cup Finals.
I can't complain. Happy, but I'll have to tell you, Rob, a little nervous right now with the game starting in a couple hours.
Okay, well, I'm cheering for your St. Louis Blues because I'd hate Boston. Mickey, I just detest the Boston Bruins. I'm a Rangers fan, and you know there's no love lost between those two sets of hockey supporters. We got a lot on the plate for this program, don't we, Mickey? We're talking tariffs, aluminum, China, free trade, red mud, tailing spills, all kinds of stuff. Where do you want to begin?
Well, we haven't talked about aluminum for just about 1 year, and that was when the latest price spike happened in April, May of 2017. Aluminum went from less than a buck and went all the way up to a buck 14, I think from less than 80 cents perhaps to a buck 14. We've seen a similar thing happen starting a couple of weeks ago on May 17th. The price spiked from 82 cents to a buck 9 on some news that kind of hit the market about two Chinese refineries shutting down, aluminum refineries. For environmental regulations, and really it comes down to this red mud issue that we talked about a year ago.
Yeah, and this whole issue of concerning the environment and mine tailings, Mickey, we don't have to look very far back to see a real disaster in that area. It was in Brazil when things went wrong at an iron ore mine, about 270 people killed in Brazil, and I guess that really put the spotlight on this issue, didn't it?
Well, it did put the spotlight on failure of tailings dams. But, you know, there was an incident in 2010, I think, in Hungary, where one of these aluminum tailing facilities was breached and 10 people died. And, you know, that's really toxic stuff, this red mud. And for every ton of alumina, Al-203 produced, that's not the final product, of course. Yep. There's a ton and a half of red mud produced, and it contains a lot of stuff, iron oxide, which gives its red color, silicon dioxide, aluminum that's not dissolved, titanium oxide. Now, most of that stuff's not particularly toxic, but it does contain a bunch of toxic metals, and it's very caustic. So 3 billion tons of this stuff worldwide.
Wow. Okay, now you talk about the price spiking higher because of the partial shutdowns of some refineries in China. What about the underlying supply-demand fundamentals? Is there enough of a demand there to kind of maintain an elevated price, considering what's going on right now?
Well, the market, once again, we talked about this last year, is in topsy-turvy position, if you will. It was, the whole problem was sparked by the Trump tariffs a year ago, February, but then it really opened up some questions and some inefficiencies in the market with pricing. Last year, for the first time in quite some time, there was a worldwide deficit as China starts to crack down on some of its environmental issues. So there's plenty of aluminum in the world of Chinese smelters. There's more smelting capacity than's really needed. Mm-hmm. I think worldwide smelting capacity is about 80%. But these inefficiencies of the market have come to light with the trade tariffs, with the Brazilian shut down because of tailings dams issues last year, with the sanctions put on Russia and the Russian oligarch and Rusal, which is the world's largest aluminum company. So it kind of goes on and on here, and there really is no end in sight.
Right. Now, you mentioned tariffs. It was only, what, a couple of weeks or so ago that the United States announced that it had reached a deal with Canada and Mexico. We don't have tariffs any longer on steel and aluminum. What are your thoughts on that decision and that agreement?
The trade tariffs, which originally targeted China, really hurt Canada. And the reason is most of the Chinese aluminum that comes into the United States is semi-fabricated products that are not made here. So there was a lot of exemptions from Chinese products. Meanwhile, the Canadians, our good friends to the north, just shipping primary aluminum to be refined in, or to be fabricated into products in the United States, really got hurt.
Yeah.
So the removal of the tariffs certainly going to help the Canadians.
Okay. Did you like our response, Mickey? We took a real broad-brushed approach to this. We slapped tariffs on American cucumbers, coffee, whiskey, playing cards, and lawnmowers, to name just a few examples.
And milk, too. And a lot of this started, this whole NAFTA renegotiation thing started with Quebec milk and dairy products. But, well, you do what you can do. So finally, the Canadians have gotten the ear of the American trade ambassador, and so we've kind of eased our...
Yeah. I guess really the biggest...
Our efforts against Canada, but really a lot of that had to do with the fact that Trump wants this new NAFTA, whatever they call it, he wants it passed. So as soon as he removed the tariffs on aluminum and steel, your government said, okay, we're going to pass the trade tariffs through your parliament.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, Mickey, that really the bigger issue in all of this is getting that new three-way trade deal passed, Canada, Mexico, the United States. What's it called here? The U.S.-Mexico agreement on trade, I guess, something like that. Bottom line is it replaces NAFTA. It should go through Congress now, should it not?
Well, you never know with Congress because you got these Democrats in the House that have the majority, and they oppose all things Trump. So you would hope that it would pass through the House, but it would certainly pass through the Senate. I don't know if what the situation will be at this point, but we'll just wait and see.
Now, Mickey, we kicked off this interview, and you were highlighting the fact that there's too much capacity in the world right now for aluminum. How do we? How does the market usually sort itself out of a situation like that? What has to take place?
Well, smelters, refineries, mines shut down, and the real overcapacity is in the refinery part of alumina, AL203. So we've seen that happen in the U.S. With smelters and refiners shutting down because they were high cost. Right now, estimated in 2018 that 40% of the world's smelting capacity was underwater. So what happens is things shut down. The problem with the aluminum markets is there is not an efficient futures market. So that's what leads to these price spikes. A few years ago, if memory serves, in the early 2010s, BHP and Alcoa, certainly two of the largest world refiners and producers of aluminum, lobbied the LME to use a spot price index for AL203 prices and link those to primary aluminum prices. Well, the problem was there is such a small amount of alumina traded in on the spot market that you got these small volume contracts in a very illiquid market that would affect the price and cause these price spikes. So there is some effort to make the market more efficient with LME and Shanghai Exchange, both trying to establish futures markets. The only real functioning futures market right now is CME based in Chicago.
Yep.
So it's market inefficiencies that were exacerbated and, or came to light based on the Trump trade tariffs.
Okay. This is not an industry that you're putting money into, is it? You wouldn't recommend.
No, it is not, Rob. There's really no place to put your money unless you want to play a large integrated aluminum company, and that's not my style of speculation.
Okay. Anything else to add, sir, besides a brave prediction from you on the Stanley Cup Finals?
Well, Rob, I really wanted to talk some in this interview about some recent developments in the business. And we talked a bit about the red mud problems worldwide and this so much waste produced every year. And you world uses about 45 million tons of aluminum every year. That's huge. That's nearly twice what we use in copper. So there have been efforts, and one of them's of the aforementioned Rusal, to develop ways to reprocess this red mud. And they've done a joint venture with a company called Tio Composite to use red mud tails in sulfur polymer concrete. And sulfur polymer concrete does not use water. It is very high strength. It's acid resistant. It's a fast cure. All you have to do is melt sulfur, which has a melting point 140 degrees C. So this process was developed in the early 1970s by the defunct U.S. Bureau of Mines for sulfur waste streams. They developed organic sulfur polymers, and so it is a way to perhaps use red mud, get rid of some of it, and we'll see where this goes. But let's look at the sizes. Pilot plants for 100,000 tons a year. We generate, if my math is correct, about 65 million, 67 million tons a year of red mud waste. So it's a promising technology, but we'll see how far it goes.
Now that brave prediction, Mickey, for the hockey finals.
I don't predict when my team is involved, I hope.
Well, I will predict for you. I'm saying Blues in a real nail-biter 7-game series, Mickey.
Well, that will be a nail-biter for me, and I'll probably have no nails left by the time it's all done.
That's Mickey Fulp, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. You can also hear Mickey's latest opinion on kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.